Sabbath blessing and welcome to all the precious family that are in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Sabbath blessing on this wonderful sunny Sabbath, October 22nd, 2022. This is our part two review of our chapter 75 entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part four of our lesson 367. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear one. And we are going to ask our dear brother to sing once more our tiny touch song, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine. Make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me. I will love and live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the tiny tots, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God bless everyone. Thank you, God, for this morning. Please help us have a day. Please bless the words that we're about to learn. And please protect the people that's doing their own Sabbath and we're doing our Sabbath. And please protect the Sabbath that God wants us to do all his rules and do no bad devil's rules. We're only doing the God rule. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is the section that we would love to hear what little blessings the little ones were to their parents, their uncles, or their family members. If you have any testimony to be able to share, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
For this section of Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessings, I'd like to highlight Emma, and highlighting her in the sense of her willingness to always want to help. Every time I'm in the kitchen preparing either a meal, she's always by my side just wondering what she can help with. And so it's become a norm and for her to be able to be a helping hand in the kitchen, for which sometimes is challenging because you want to do everything by yourself, but it's also grounding for myself and for her, and she helps me and I help her and she learns and grow, and I pray that she will always have that willingness to want to be able to learn. So highlighting her in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. It says many hands is little work. by God's grace, if there's anybody else that would like to share what their little blessings have been in their household. We have another session that we can be able to have the testimony shared. And welcome to all of the dear family that are coming in. A story of Jesus, chapter 9, early ministry, part 4, review. We're going to allow our dear brother to be able to share it with us.
All right. Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John 4 and 14 and 2, 9 and 10. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And everyone in whom God's Spirit dwells, this is early ministry, part 4, chapter 9. Everyone in whom God's Spirit dwells will live forever with Christ in his kingdom. Received into the heart by faith, it is the beginning of life eternal. The precious blessing Christ told the woman he would give her if she asked for it. This precious blessing Christ told the woman he would give her if she asked for it. So he will give it to us. This woman had broken God's commandments, and Christ showed her that he knew the sins of her life. But he showed too that he was her friend, that he loved and pitied her, and that if she was willing to forsake her sins, God would receive her as his child. How glad she was to know this. In her joy, she hurried away to the town nearby, and called the people to come and see Jesus. So they came to the well and asked him to stay with them. He remained 2 days and taught them, and many listened to his words. They repented of their sins and believed on him as their Savior. During his ministry, Jesus twice visited his old home in Nazareth. At the first visit, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Here he read from Isaiah's prophecy about the work of the Messiah, how he was to preach good tidings to the poor, to comfort the sorrowing, to give sight to the blind, and to heal those who were bruised. Then he told the people that all this was fulfilled that day. This was the work that he himself was doing. At those words, the hearers were filled with joy. They believed that Jesus was the promised Savior. Their hearts were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they responded with fervent amens and praised the Lord. Story of Jesus, page 56. Is that it?
Just a minute, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will be continuing with our part 5 of our lesson entitled Early Ministry in our Tiny Tots lesson book entitled The Story About Jesus. That will be October the 29th, 2022. And now you are going to continue the review from Desire of Ages.
All right. From chapter 15 at the marriage feast. The word of Christ supplied ample provision for the feast. So abundant is the provision of his grace to blot out the iniquities or the sins of men, and to renew and sustain the soul. At the first feast he attended with his disciples, Jesus gave them the cup that symbolized his work for their salvation. At the Last Supper, he gave it again. In the institution of that sacred rite by which his death was to be shown forth till he come, 1 Corinthians 11:26. And the sorrow of the disciples at parting from their Lord was comforted with the promise of reunion. As he said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Matthew 26:29. The wine which Christ provided for the feast and that which he gave to the disciples is a symbol of his own blood. As a symbol of his own blood was the pure juice of the grape. To this, the prophet Isaiah refers when he speaks of the new wine in the cluster and says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. Isaiah 65:8. It was Christ who in the Old Testament gave the warning to Israel. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20:1. Next slide. And he himself provided no such beverage. Satan tempts men to indulgence that will becloud reason and benumb the spiritual perceptions. But Christ teaches us to bring the lower nature into subjection. His whole life was an example of self-denial in order to break the power of appetite. He suffered in our behalf the severest test that humanity could endure. It was Christ who directed that John the Baptist should drink neither wine nor strong drink. It was he who enjoined or commanded similar abstinence upon the wife of Manoah, told her, don't drink wine, don't drink grape juice. And he pronounced a curse upon the man who should put the bottle to his neighbor's lips. Christ did not contradict his own teaching. The unfermented wine which he provided for the wedding guests was a wholesome and refreshing drink. Its effect was to bring the taste into harmony with a healthful appetite. As the guests at the feast remarked upon the quality of the wine, inquiries or questions were made that drew from the servants an account of the miracle. The company were for a time too much amazed to think of him who had performed the wonderful work. When at length, or finally when they looked for him, it was found that he had withdrawn so quietly as to be unnoticed, even by his disciples. Desire of Ages, page 149. Okay. Thank you. Okay, here's some review questions. What did the ruler of the feast do after he had tasted the wine? Did he write a letter to the governor? No, he went to the head man of the feast, the bridegroom, and says, wow, what is this you've done? You've saved the best wine to last. Isn't that a way to end a feast? It sounds good drink. What did he say to the bridegroom? Well, I just told you. He said, most people serve good wine at the beginning and poor wine at the last. Worse, he calls it. I don't know what that's like, but was the wine Jesus made the kind that makes men drunk?
No.
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 No, it wasn't. It was the pure juice of the grape. Wholesome, tasty, and healthful. See you next week.
Amen. The symbol of that wine also, whenever we have communion, those that are baptized, they are able to partake of that wine is a symbol of his blood as well. It is time for our tiny thoughts and parents to learn precious lessons in nature and the gems that lies beneath God's creation. So let's have a listening ears, dear one, for our dear brother Josh will be the one to tell us about the review of the Water of Life Part 20.
Sad blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning water and the miracle of the turning water to wine. Research. First miracle. This began of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. John 2:11. The attention of the company was now turned to the disciples. For the first time, they had the opportunity of acknowledging their faith in Jesus. They told what they had seen and heard at the Jordan, and there was kindled in many hearts the hope that God had raised up a deliverer for his people. The news of the miracle spread through all that region and was carried to Jerusalem. With new interest, the priests and elders searched the prophecies pointing to Christ's coming. There was eager desire to learn the mission of this new teacher who appeared among the people in so unassuming a manner. Desire of Ages, page 150. Once more, God gave the leaders of Israel an opportunity to understand and respect what the scriptures said about the work of Christ. Two things Jesus needed, a container and water for the miracle he was going to perform. To perform a miracle in your life, he needs you, the vessel, himself, with water, to make a new creation, the pure grape juice. It is a miracle that Jesus sends rainwater for the grapevine and changes it into a delicious juice for the communion service. From our previous lesson concerning dams, and according to this picture, beavers here are some of the world's greatest dam builders, since that's what they need to make for their homes. And it says here that dams, God's dam builders, beavers build with their mouth, out and teeth. Those teeth are sharp enough to cut through the wood and allow the tree to fall down. And here's a little diagram of a beaver lodge. This spot is the eating chamber where they lay to eat and rest. And below are the underwater entrances where they can get in and out when they need to go to work or go home for a good rest. And the nesting chamber where they rest us for the night. This next chart tells how waterfalls formed. How do waterfalls form? Here's how. Step one, falling water and rock particles or boulders loosen and wear away the softer rock. Step two is the hard rock above is undercut as erosion of the soft rock continues. Step three, the hard rock collapses into the plunge pool to be broken up and washed away by the river. The position of the falls moves back. And pipe four, the final part, erosion continues and the waterfall slowly eats its way upstream, leaving a gorge behind. And that's how all the waterfalls are made. And here's some reminders, things you'll do to remember for the lesson. And reinforcements, activities to do while remembering the lessons as well. One, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind your lesson. Two, as you dust the cobwebs up high and all the way down to the floor, or can some grape juice, you remember your lesson. Three, as you sprinkle the garden with water for a rainbow made by the fine spray. One, observe water. Two, find pictures of waterfalls to pour on your bulletin board if you have one. Three, if you have any waterfalls near where you live, visit them. Four, serve grape juice some morning to pour over your cereal for breakfast. Remember how Jesus is waiting until another marriage supper before he tastes again of grape juice. Do you know what marriage that is? See Revelation 19:7. Five, visit a grape vineyard, if there is one nearby, that is. Six, purchase a variety of different kinds of grapes to serve at a meal. I'll give back to Mom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And remember, little ones, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Our opening hymn to our review is entitled Near the Cross, found in number 312. If anyone would like to share the hymn, you can unmute your mic to do so. Jesus, keep me near the cross, dear, a precious fountain, free to all a healing streams flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Well, I was hoping Jeremiah would sing with me, but he's not going to.
Near the cross, O Lamb of God, brings its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows on me. In the cross, be my glory beyond the river.
Thank you.
Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hope in trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, dear ones. Praise God. If anyone of the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, would like to open our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Blessed Sabbath, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for the Sabbath. And please protect the word that we're about to learn. And please protect everybody that's here. And please protect everybody that's not here. And they feel better to come back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Ages, Volume 3, Chapter 50, Verse 14 and 15 from the King James Version.
Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear the answer to the questions, let us take a few minutes to reread last Sabbath's part one of our lesson before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part four in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 705. Jeremiah, come read. Caiaphas. Caiaphas.
Caiaphas.
Perceiving.
Perceiving.
I can't, hold on, I can't see that. The influence.
The influence.
The influence.
The influence.
That was. Obtaining.
Obtaining.
Obtaining. Thank you. Hastened.
Hastened.
The trial.
The trial.
The enemies.
The enemies.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Were in.
Were in.
Great.
Great.
Perplexity.
Perplexity.
Excuse me. They were.
They were.
Bent.
Bent.
On.
On.
Securing.
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 Secure.
Good.
His
condemnation.
Condemnation.
But
how to
accomplish
this
they knew not.
They knew not.
The members
of the
council were divided.
between
the Pharisees,
and the
Sadducees.
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 There was bitter animosity and controversy between them. Certain disputed
points
they dared
not approach
for fear
of a quarrel.
Next slide, please. Continuing with the few words, Jesus could have excited their prejudice against each other and thus have averted their wrath from himself. Pastor knew this, and he wished to avoid stirring up a contention. There were plenty of witnesses to prove that Christ had denounced the priests and scribes, that he had called them hypocrites and murderers. But this testimony, it was not expedient to bring forward. Next slide, please.
Continuing, the Sadducees in their sharp contention with the Pharisees had used them similar language, and such testimony would have no weight with the Romans, who were themselves disgusted with the pretensions of the Pharisees. There was abundant evidence that Jesus had disregarded the traditions of the Jews and had spoken irreverently of many of their ordinances. Next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 705. Continuing. But in regard to tradition, the Pharisees and Sadducees were at sword's point, and this evidence also would have no weight with the Romans. Christ's enemies dared not accuse him of Sabbath breaking, lest an examination should reveal the character of his work. If his miracles of healing were brought to light, the very object of the priest would be defeated. Desire of Ages, page 705, paragraph 1. On the side on the top says, "For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." Acts 23:8. And here's the difference between in both groups and oops in the bottom of the names. The Pharisees, their leading religious leaders, controlled the temple, strict sect, and made traditions. But the Sadducees controlled priesthood, the law, go with the law of Moses only, deny the resurrection and spirits.
Continuing. Desire of Ages, page 705. False witness had been bribed to accuse Jesus of inciting rebellion and seeking to establish a separate government, but their testimony proved to be vague and contradictory. Under examination, that they falsified their own testament.
Early in his ministry, Christ had said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." In the figurative language of prophecy, he had thus foretold his own death and resurrection. He spake of the temple of his body, John chapter 2, verse 19 through 21, or in 21. These words the Jews had understood in a literal sense as referring to the temple of Jerusalem. Of all that Christ had said, the priests could find nothing to use against him save this. Next slide, please. Continuing, by misstating these words, they hoped to gain an advantage. The Romans had engaged in rebuilding and embellishing the temple, and they took great pride in it. Any contempt shown to it would be sure to excite their indignation. Here, Romans and Jews, Pharisees and Sadducees, could meet. For all held the temple in great veneration.
Continuing. On this point, two witnesses were found whose testimony was not so contradictory as that of the others had been. One of them, who had been bribed to accuse Jesus, declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" Thus Christ's words were misstated. If they had been reported exactly as he spoke them, they would not have secured his condemnation, even by the Sanhedrin. Next slide, please.
Continuing, had Jesus been a mere man, as the Jews claimed, his declaration would only have, I cannot see, hold on. His declaration would not have indicated an unreasonable, boastful spirit, but could not have been construed into blasphemy. Even as misrepresented by the false witnesses, his words contained nothing which would be regarded by the Romans as a crime worthy of death. Desire of Ages, page 705, paragraph 3.
Continue. We are now on Desire of Ages, page 706. Patiently, Jesus listened to the conflicting testimonies. No word did he utter in self-defense. At last, his accusers were entangled, confused, and maddened. The trial was making no headway. It seemed that their plotting were to fail. Caiaphas was desperate. One last resort remained. Christ must be forced to condemn himself. The high priest started from the judgment seat, his face contorted with passion, his voice and demeanor plainly indicating that were it in his power, he would strike down the prisoner before him. "Answerest thou nothing?" he exclaimed. "What is it with these witness against thee?" Desire of Ages, page 706, paragraph 3.
Amen. So let us consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15 for our theme. "Well, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And what have we learned and ways we have grown? Here are the questions that we reserved from last Sabbath. I will be able to read it for those that are not able to see the screen and may have other devices where they can hear but not see. We have 6 questions. The first one is, who is the main character or characters in our lesson story? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you have the ability to place it in the room, in the chat. If not, may you unmute your mic to share. Which one would you like to answer? This is number 1.
Jesus Caiaphas.
Was there any other characters or characters in our lessons?
Yeah. The Sadducees, the Pharisees. Yes. Go ahead.
The Sadducees, the Pharisees.
The Pharisees, the Pharisees.
And the disciples.
And the disciples.
The main idea for this section of the story is Jesus still being charged with blasphemy and then getting blamed by 2 false witnesses is about how they mistook how he was to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days.
Number 3, where did the story take place? The temple? I think.
In the story of
the court.
The court of Caiaphas.
This section of the story began from when they took Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane and took him to where he is now for the trial.
Number 5, how could you relate to the story? I can relate to the story. Personally, recently being accused of things that I have not done at work, thus losing my job. So I'm just learning to be able to hold your composure and not responding back with the same spirit as they have given you. I guess I'm going into number 6 is what did I learn from this lesson? Being able to control my spirit, my actions and my words, although justified, but just making sure that I don't come out of character to misrepresent who the Lord is requiring for me to be.
One thing that I've learned from this particular experience of the Savior is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to go through the remaining part of the plan of salvation because it involved a lot of negative things that was going to happen to him and to his disciples, etc. But he was willing to submit to the Father's will, and the Father saw that it was best for the sake of humanity as well as for the sake of Christ to allow him to go through these negative situations so that Christ may glorify God and perfect that last remaining part of his character to where he could indeed be the Savior of the world, the perfect example for every follower of his to imitate. So even though Christ didn't want to go through that experience, yet it was the Father's will that he did go through that experience and gave Christ the extra grace and the strength to endure. So it's the same with each one of us. We may not want to go through an experience, but the Father sees it's necessary for the perfection of our character and to give glory to God, as well as being an example of what a follower of Christ should be to others.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And also, how do I relate to the story? When Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane and he pleaded and he prayed, not much for himself, but for the disciples, and also even for our generation, all that he had prayed and lifted up in faith, then comes the work. So when the work were being accomplished, the prayers that was lifted before God was coming to pass. And to have the trust that he has upon his Father, even in the darkest hour, that is one of the things that I would like to carry for the rest of my life. Especially now as things becomes very dark and tight because of what's going on all around us. Just remember that the Lord will never forsake us. And if we have the faith in him and whatever it is that we have to go through, it is really for our salvation. Whatever instrumentalities that he's going to use to polish us or to help us to remove dross from our life, he's really doing it because he loves us and he wants us to be saved. So what I have learned is that the best lessons that the Lord have left us, we're not going to find in no other, for he is the one that know and he is the overcomer of all that he has to do in his body, in his own flesh. And if we will continue to look upon him and plead that the Lord will have mercy upon us and give us the lesson that we need to acquire following his footsteps, we will become overcomers as well. But faith without work is dead. If anyone would like to share what they have learned, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear friends.
What I learned is relating to being human. We don't know whether we're going to succeed or not in a task. And Jesus was human, but he relied upon his Father to lead and guide him. And his Father related to him, yes, you can. And he did, because his Father told him he can, as a lesson for us. We rely upon God to take us through the bad places, and he will, because of his great love for us.
Indeed, dear Sister Joan. Well, dear ones, we are going to share some thoughts from the Spirit of Prophecy. This one is taken from Testimony for the Churches, Volume 5, entitled Christian Influence in the Home and the Church, from Chapter 69. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The truth as it is in Jesus The truth as it is in Jesus does much for the receiver, and not only for him, but for all who brought within the sphere of his influence. The truly converted soul is illuminated from on high, and Christ is in that soul. Illuminated from on high, and Christ is in that soul, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. His words, his motives, his actions may be misinterpreted and falsified, but he does not mind it because he has greater interests at stake. He does not consider present. He does not consider present convenience. He is not ambitious for display. He does not crave the praise of men. His hope is in heaven, and he keeps straight on with his eye fixed on Jesus.
He does right because it is right, and because only those who do right will have an entrance into the kingdom of God. He is kind and humble and thoughtful of others' happiness. He never says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" But he loves his neighbor as himself. His manner is not harsh and dictatorial like that of the godless, but he reflects life from heaven upon men. He is a true, bold soldier of the cross of Christ, holding forth the word of life. As he gains an influence, prejudice against him dies away. His piety is acknowledged, and his Bible principles are respected.
Thus it is with everyone who is truly converted. He bears precious fruit, and in so doing, walks as Christ walked, talks as he talked, works as he worked, and the truth as it is in Jesus, through him, makes an impression in his home, in his neighborhood, and in the church. He is building a character for eternity, while working out his own salvation with fear and trembling. He is exemplifying before the world the valuable principles of truth, showing what the truth will do for the life and character of the genuine believer. He is unconsciously acting his part in the sublime work of Christ in the redemption of the world, a work which in its character and influence is far-reaching, undermining the foundation of false religion and false science. From Testimonies 569, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. We have a poem entitled Children Missions, and that was taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 112, from page 442. If anyone would like to take the following verses, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Number one, children by our Lord were honored. When on this poor earth he stayed, fondly he embraced and blessed them. Though a frowning through forbade.
Two, to his side a child he summoned. Placed him in the midst and told those that simply guide to follow who God's kingdom would behold.
Number three. Let's.
Still his gospel honors children, bids them to Christ's service move, and their little rills of beauty swell the ocean of his love.
Number four, bids them strive with zealous pity for the desolate and sad, till dark and desert place fire for them exceeding glad.
Five, Children, to our dear Redeemer, yield the grateful homage due, and by love to every creature, pay the love he bears for you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If there is any testimony that you would like to share with your dear family, may you unmute your mic to do so.
I've been trying to teach Christian in Jeremiah, Psalms 23. And for my children, everything has to be put into music. Me reading to them, it doesn't really penetrate. So for these two especially, I have to put a melody to it. So we've got verse 1. Christian is not here to sing, and Jeremiah just ran off, so I wanted him to share the song, but he just ran off, so I'll share it with you, if I can remember how it went. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalms 23, verse 1. So this is, I'm trying to teach them the whole chapter, but I have to go verse by verse with them and put it into a song for them.
Amen. That is beautiful, dear sister. If anyone would like to share the testimony, we can also proceed after all the service by God's grace. I just would like to thank God for all that he has done and taking my sister safely to Mexico to deliver my father's computer. By God's grace, everything that was supposed to be accomplished, we were able to accomplish it. And now she's supposed to be coming back over the weekend. So keep her in prayer as well. And for all of the dear brethren that are under the weather, I pray that the Lord's healing hand will be upon them. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 5 of our new chapter entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas in our storybook, The Sigh of Ages. Any one of the dear remnant family would like to close our review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father Jesus, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the lessons that we are learning thus far. Father, we pray that in the time when we are tested, that we will be able to stand just looking at your examples, Father. Be with all the little children. Thank you for their participation. Thank you for the participation of their parents. Be with us as we go on to the next section. May you bless the speaker. May you continue to bless us, Father Jesus. May everything that we do and say may be to your honor and glory. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, will be lesson 368. Can you imagine, dear ones? Chapter 75, Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas. That will be part 5. That will be held October 29, 2022. I apologize, dear ones. May you all have a blessed and a peaceful Sabbath. God bless everyone.